and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined once again by my handsome co-host, Roger Robbins, in the studio. And we've got an amazing topic today, and all week we are going to be talking about the finished work of Christ, which is very worthy of our time and consideration, and we're really excited to just kind of...
Honored.
Yeah, really. So we haven't been together in the studio for a little while. I was in the studio last week with Meg Ackerman, but you and I have not been in here for a while, so it's nice to be back.
It's good to kick this amazing theme off today, which I think we titled Christ's Finished Work...
The last act.
Yeah, the last act.
Yeah, and we'll reference that later on in the show. Yeah. So, little overview of how we're hoping the show will go today, because we never really know in the end. But we want to just first start with really the origins of the phrase, the finished work, where it comes from, what it's based in terms of the Bible, and give context for it. And then we're hoping to really kind of explode that concept and break it down. Like, there's so much behind those very few words that are so profound. So we're going to kind of break it down a little bit. And then, as we always hope to do, end with like practical application. And what is it, what does the finished work mean for us today and how we should live and think and walk before God. So
yeah,
it's going to be good. And, it's going to fly by. But
it's a flyby, and then this whole week, guys, encouraging everyone to follow along, because it will just build and build and build to like a teaching for your life. If you don't know it so well, if you haven't heard it so much, this is kind of the capturing of who God is and what He's done for you. It's like really like it's the capturing of who God is and everything that He's done for every single one who has put their trust in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And really, you can weave in and out of the doctrines of the Bible based upon the finished work and just be amazed and benefit and just gleam and receive all that He's done. And it will impact you and does impact us with unending results. Really, like, it just can flow through our days, changing the course of our life here on earth.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to make a quick, I wanted to make a quick shout out. I'm wearing this t-shirt, Greater Grace. Yeah. This is the Greater Grace
Mumbai, India
t-shirt that I got when I went in May. And this past weekend, they celebrated their Bible school graduation there.
Yeah.
And they had 68 graduates or 68 different ones that have come through, I think, a collection of churches around Mumbai.
All of India, right?
Not all of India, but I think like...
I
think of the surrounding, there's a bunch of different churches in and around Mumbai. If I misspeak.
Shout out to India.
Yeah.
We love you guys so much.
So Pastor Binu, and then Lennon sent me the link, and then we watched it Sunday morning before church.
Yeah, I actually planned to mention that message. We listened to the message that was preached at their graduation ceremony by our dear friend, Pastor Guru. And I think it fits really well with this theme, actually, because there was so much like... just rest and peace that he was offering to the graduates as they were kind of embarking.
Yes.
But before we get into that, let's back it up and kind of start at the simplest place, which is, you know, where do we get the term, the finished work? Like how did that start? Where in the Bible, do we see that?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, we can cite other verses other than the main primary one, which would be Jesus on the cross. In John chapter 19, this is the final act. And really, it's not so final. It has eternal results, unending results. But as far as man understands, as far as you and I understand, we have all been in a guilty place up until this point with no eternal sacrifice to count for or to find.
Yeah.
And Jesus fulfilling what was said in Genesis 3, that that he would crush his head. And it was speaking towards the devil that Jesus would win a great victory over what had happened in the garden in the fall through sin entering humanity and spoiling and separating the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. And so it's like amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, crescendo of like
for
apex.
Sure. It's the climax of the story that God began and always planned to be the one who would complete it. So when we look at that, when Jesus said, "It is finished,"
it's John 19:30.
Like you were saying, it's a very simple, short phrase. And it's like, it's one of those sentences that's like, over before you've even had a chance to think about what it means.
Yeah.
And that's why it's worth our time to, I was saying, I use the word explode or expand or expound, I guess, on what it means, because it's a very short little moment in history that actually is like the most important moment in history.
And like, it would be so sad. And it is sad when this passes by.
Yeah.
And it's not given like it's thought and our due diligence to like uncover like what was finished, what needed completion, you know?
And that's where I wanted to bring up what the Pastor Guru mentioned in his message that we were listening to. He was talking about how many people can consider the Christian life, or really any good life, whatever religion you are following, as a list of things to do. Mm-hmm. But he was saying, actually, the Christian life is a list of things we cannot do.
Yes.
And I loved that because it's brings us back to the heart of the gospel, which is that we needed a savior. We needed a rescuer. There was enmity between us and God. We were dead in our sins. So we were unable to do anything about the deadly situation that we were in as enemies of God. Like there was this war, this conflict, and it's something that we were unable to resolve. So this list of things we could not do, we cannot save ourselves, we cannot redeem ourselves. Like all of the words that we know are built into the truth of like the finished work gospel message is a list of things we couldn't do. And that is like the distinctive that puts Christians apart from other religions, where you had mentioned when we were talking that there is, you could say there's similarities in religions, but what makes Christianity absolutely unique
is the finished work.
It's the finished work.
Yeah.
It's finished.
And so maybe we, you know, that list that we cannot do is summed up by this one word in what Jesus did. It is finished in the Greek, teleo. And it has like other similar words that are added and to it to make it a different type of verb, with like past results, present results, future results, and the word when we looked it up and we were talking about it, like it's really cool because I mean I remember Pastor Speedy saying like even in Cyprus when he hears people speak in Greek, like when he buys something at the store, he'll purchase something from the seller. He makes his payment and then they say this word in Greek. Mm. Like, I don't know, to some similar, Greek people out there, they're like, the root word is very normal.
Yeah.
Like, and basically they say like, it's finished. Like
it's done. The transaction is complete.
Completed transaction for all those that like tap with their phones.
Right.
It's that little green check mark that goes off, you know, that says like transaction completed.
Yeah. Nothing more to do. No payment necessary.
Yeah. You're free to go.
Yeah. Cause when I looked it up, it really means like to bring something to a close. So it's the concept is that something was ongoing and now it's completed, it's fulfilled. So it's like to perform, execute, or complete. And it's like in the sense of carrying out a command and seeing it through to the end.
Yes.
And that's where we got the title. It says to perform the last act, which completes a process. So this word, when Jesus said it is finished, it's three words in English. It's one word in Greek, this teleo. And it means the whole act, the whole thing, the whole process with this moment, meaning Christ dying on the cross, in this moment, it is finished. It's complete. The whole process that has led up to this moment, and now this is the final act, the last act.
Yes.
So that's why we love that phrase, because we have life after the cross, right? There's still history is still unfolding. And so I think that's what's something worth kind of getting into today. And I was kind of challenging you on it when we were discussing. I'm like, well, we still have work to do. There's still, you know, the Christian's been told to do things. We have been mandated to go and preach the gospel. We are told to love one another. We have to forgive. We have to do, we have work to do. And it says in the Bible that he has prepared good works for us that we would walk in them. So what makes this different? Well, how is it finished if there's still work that we need to do?
Yeah, well, and I think that the way I explained it was just that if we look at the cross as like in a timeline, the cross being this completion point, and prior to the cross, there's incomplete work. There's God supplementing for it through the sacrifices of bulls and goats, right? Showing that man cannot, through any system of works, earn salvation. Because this term is a theological term, not to like make it too complicated, but it does fall under soteriology,
right?
You know, like the study of salvation.
Study, right.
So when we look at our salvation, it says in Psalm 51:5 that God requires truth in the inner man, right? He wants to get to the heart, and he's not looking for sacrifice, but he's looking for a contrite and broken spirit. So, and it's really Genesis, when Abraham believed and it was counted as righteousness, that really we don't see the sacrifices being counted as righteousness. We saw that the act of faith was the only primary work. I would be careful to say that word work, but like act in which we would in a way receive what's been done. And actually you see that in Genesis when God puts Abraham to sleep, and he makes a promise with Abraham while he's asleep. Between him and himself, as he walks through the boiling the pot and the smoke and the flax, the smoking flax, right? So there's like this incredible picture there in Genesis that like God's going to do something all on his own without any of our work, but just our response. So I would say, what work do we have to do? All our work is on the other side.
Right.
Of the cross, or the other side of our faith in what Jesus did on the cross.
So that's what I remember. That's the way you had put it, that it's like with other religions, you will see, and some are not even that clear, right? Some are more like nebulous concepts and principles, very gray. But in many religions, what you will see is a list of things that you should do in order to earn salvation, in order to reach a point where you can say, okay, like I'm in the afterlife, I'm going to be okay. I have good favor, right? And all of that is like pre-salvation, you could say. But when we look at the Christian teaching of the finished work, which is this teaching that, about the cross and what it does for us, all of the work given to a believer is post-salvation. So there is no work to be done to earn salvation.
Yes.
And I think that's the distinction I was looking for when I said, like we do have work to do as Christians. So how is the work finished? But that's the distinction, is that this is referring to the work that is required to bring us back into peace with God.
Yes.
Right? And it says in Colossians 1:20, Colossians 1 is still one of my favorite chapters, but it says in Colossians 1:20 that Christ would reconcile all things to himself, making peace by the blood of the cross. So that's what we're talking about here. When we talk about work, we mean this impossible work that we could never do.
And another way of looking at it is a little later in Genesis 22, when God calls Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, God was trying to get to Abraham's heart to give up the thing he loved the most. But Abraham knew somehow. How did he know? Through God's promise of provision that God would provide, right? And that's what it says when Isaac asks, right? It says that, and Isaac said to his father, my father, and he said to Abraham, and he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?
Right.
And Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.
Like, so good.
Like the stage has always been set because it's all this, the finished work is God's plan, has nothing to do with man.
Right.
And Abraham, even in the simplest way, as a sojourner from a desert, a Bedouin of a land, called out by the name of God, by the person of God, Yahweh, to follow him. You know, like he knew from the very initial act, it was always going to be God that would provide. And I think that word provide is also like part of this equation when we think about the finished work. So like in our soteriology, like maybe we were skipping ahead, but I do want to cover this, but you touched for a minute on like other religions. Like, I think it's a great way to go, just a little blurb on like soul winning, like a great way to soul win as a Christian is to use and boast in the finished work in this beautiful, truth and reality, because the Bible's the only book that offers a finished work. You know, like it's the only religion in the whole world that offers something completely done, started and done, started. Remember, it was on God to do this. Like it's on you, Lord. You know, this is your job. You know, it's like God calls you to do something and here you are in a desert or here you are in this really difficult situation in this world. Here in Bible school or there with your kids. And you know, that moment when you say to God, like, God, you told me, you gave me this. And then it's like, and then he does it. So he's the only one or the only religion where he promises what he says he'll do. All other religions are really like, they don't present a pre-work of God. They only present a work of man. And then you'll get a post work of God.
Right. Meaning then he might respond with some
Roger's works plus Liz's works equals, you know, or Roger's this and that, or you're this and that equal your salvation.
Can I read this quote from Charles Spurgeon? There's a message that I found online from 1861 by Charles Spurgeon, and it's titled Christ's Finished Work. It's incredible. I recommend you read it. It was really amazing. But there's this one quote right at the beginning of the message, and that's speaking to this, that the inadequacy of man's work. And it says, he says, there never existed but one being who in truth could affirm of his work, it is finished. Incompleteness and defect trace the vast, elaborate, and accomplished products of human genius and power. So it just nails us to the wall and says that even at our best, and we've done good things, haven't we? You know, many people like to point to the progress of humanity, but in everything that we could call progress or accomplishment, all the products that come from our genius and power are still incomplete or defective in some way. Right. Our greatest buildings, our greatest governments, our greatest institutions.
Yeah, man's greatest finished work.
Yeah, like it's unfinished. We cannot say, and even if you just look at the simple fact that we live in time and God lives in eternity,
it's
right
enough
away, what we're talking about here is something impossible for us. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about in Exodus 14, where it talks about the crossing of the Red Sea, because we know that like theologically, it's often, you know, the people enslaved in Egypt crossing the Red Sea and then moving towards the Promised Land is a, you know, is a picture of salvation, right? That we were in slavery. We could not save ourselves. And the Red Sea is this moment where you picture the people standing at this sea and it's impossible. There's nothing that they could do at this point to save themselves. It's impossible. And it says in Exodus 14, 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord." And in the following verse, it says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent."
It sounds like the finished work.
It's like this impossible thing is standing in front of you, and then the impossible happens, and God splits the sea. And God, what do?
God only asks us to see.
He's like, just look
just
at
put
it.
Put your eyes on
see
it.
See the salvation. And then I was thinking, it's beautiful. What is the one thing that those people did? They walked through it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's again this beautiful picture of what is our work, if you could call it that. Mm-hmm. We go to the cross and we walk through it.
Right, because after salvation, like you mentioned, that message from India, we have a list of to-dos. Mm. As Americans, I think that's very relevant. It hits home to us. I'm a to-do list. I'm a to-doer.
I have several on my
lister,
phone.
And I have all those unchecked boxes. And let's say I go to God with it and I think about my standing with the Lord, my acceptance, what he thinks of me. And it's all based upon, I think it's based upon this unchecked list, this to-do box of items that it's so clear I can't do.
Yeah.
And that's so wrong of us to like handle and think and perceive God that he looks at us this way, when really it's like, he is like, give me the list, agree with me that you cannot cross the Red Sea on your own, that you can't get out of Egypt on your own, that you won't survive in this desert on your own.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're like, okay, surrender.
Right. It's not like we needed like a helping hand,
No.
Or like a little supplement.
He's like literally taking our to-do list and he's like, watch. And he like hits the little like Apple
select
check.
All check
yeah
all.
And they all light yellow, you know, like on the notes on your Apple, like I'm sorry for all those other people
very
that
detailed
phone.
Apple
but like
product description.
Like they all light yellow and it's like
they're
and
done.
He's like I did that.
I think that's really amazing because the consequence of like really letting the finished work kind of permeate your life is that in your to-do lists, the things that God has given you to do, we don't mean like grocery shopping and stuff, but like God has given us things to do and they're individual. Some of them, are all Christians are called to do, like we mentioned, forgiving or sharing your faith. But in all of those to-dos, we look at them through this lens of the finished work, meaning that I'm already at peace with God. I'm already safe and secure in the salvation that he has provided. Yes. And so in everything that we do, whenever we sense guilt, you know, shame, having not done enough, fear that God looks at me in a different way, immediately we can return to the truth of the finished work.
Yes.
So it is one of those things that if you haven't really settled deep down in your bones, spend this month, year, decade, like getting it into you, because
it
changes the way we process our life, which was another part of that amazing message from India. He said that we need to process our failures with God, process our life with God, process our relationships with God. And that is what we're saying here, that the finished work is how you view your life today. Mm-hmm.
And in essence, if you allow that to happen, that's what's going to carry through you.
Yeah, it's going to
carry you through your life. It's
right.
going to take you to the finish line, which it really is like meeting Christ face to face. So I want to read Numbers 23:19. It's a verse I think quoted a lot, and it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Will he not fulfill it? And this was a reminder to the people of Israel and to Baal specifically. Mm. But I think it's the same relevant reminder. And I want to like now jump over like this was in God's mind in the Old Testament. And it's a promise that he would. What he said he would do, he will.
Yeah.
And Jesus, who in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. Like, and we beheld it. And I think we don't need to go any further than seeing the life of Jesus to understand the work of Jesus. Mm. Like, he explains this, and there's a couple different verses that talk about that. And yeah. John 4, I'll just cite them real quick if I can. John 4, 34, it says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work."
Mm-hmm. I think that word is finish.
It is. It's the same word.
It's the same word.
And just to kind of like, let's look at the life of Jesus. Cause remember, when he comes to the earth incarnate, he is given this very task.
Yeah.
This is his only task.
In real
right?
time.
And yeah, imagine.
The eternal always plan is now like being brought into time.
Yeah.
Amazing.
On their doing, on their initiation at their moment.
Yeah.
When I say they, I mean the Trinity.
Yeah.
All working in unison and harmony, right? And in Luke chapter 2, remember when the parents of Jesus lost Jesus, found him in the temple. Remember what he said? I think it's like verse 49, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about my father's business.
Yeah.
They're like, "Where are you?" "I'm about my father's business," right? Like, even at a young age, Jesus already knowing and already in the very mode of operation, which
he was actively fulfilling the work.
Yeah. And so you gotta, amazing. I think it's worth the journey. That's John chapter 4. John chapter 5, again, as he witnesses of himself, he says in John 5, 36, "The testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me."
Wow.
And
it's so cool. And maybe it just is the nerd in me, but to see these words in Greek and how Jesus is using these same words here to finish or to perfect or complete the work the Father's given him. And then in John 4, like you were saying, to accomplish or to finish, complete, fulfill his work is the same word he uses on the cross when he finally says it's finished.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like he was giving us a trail of little bits and pieces. And as you follow the trail, like as you ponder his steps and his life in the Gospels, you see, he does exactly what he said he would do.
Yeah.
Has he not said, and will he not fulfill it? ? To you and I?
Like, right.
He will. Faithful is he who called you, who will also do it.
Yeah.
So it just really hits home. And there's one more in John 10. And this is really speaking to Christ's divinity, right? Because that's another thing that's tested in this is like, this type of a finished work that has eternal results, like really far reaching, like we can't even fathom the results of his finished work, are related and connected and solidified to his divinity. And I think that's very important to establish. And Jesus does that in John chapter 10.
Yeah.
He says, "I told you," in verse 25, "and you do not believe," and he's speaking to the Pharisees and the people in the temple, "and the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me." Like, everything I do is going to bear witness of who I am. I'm God.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say that in verse 37, "If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe in me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe in me, believe in the works. That you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Mm. Like, if you can't even believe me, look at the work that I do.
Yeah.
Like, the work is almost like equal to who he is.
Yeah.
Because like it says, like the Word became flesh.
Right.
So the Word and his work are really like him. You know what I mean? Like, for those who can't understand and contemplate Jesus, like, I think that's very much what we did in, or for those who spend time in other countries where there's other strong religion or predominant religions, much of the time, I don't think we're actually trying to like get them to grasp who Jesus is. We're actually just trying to show them what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just consider what he did. Yeah.
Like, just like think about the cross, you know, like the powerful figure of the cross in a country that doesn't recognize
it's incredible. Yeah.
Is so powerful.
I remember hearing that from some apologist that evangelism is just removing obstacles from people so that they can clearly see the cross. And I think that's so true, because the finished work is where it's the place where we can meet God. Like the cross, which is the finished work, is where you can meet God. And it happened in real time, but it speaks in eternity. Like we know that like the blood of Jesus speaks still today. So it's, even though it happened over 2000 years ago and it is finished, it's actively finished.
Yeah.
I don't know like if that makes sense, but when you try to wrap your head around eternity and what that means, which is that God exists outside of time, the work that he did, it says in Hebrews 10, verse 12, it said, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. That's like so powerful when you think that he did something on earth in time. Mm-hmm. And then he sat down at the right hand of God and waited, meaning now his work is actively continuing to save. It's like this, like you were saying this, it produces like endless fruit because it's active, it's eternal and we are in time. So it's just so like beautiful to consider that what Christ did was for all time and for all men.
Yeah. And how can we, so let's put some like, so let's put some skin on this. Like, let's paint the picture a little bit more with some other words.
Yeah.
Remember
I wanted
those,
you to go
those
for
three
it.
Words, I think. So the finished work, teleo, and it really like, there's not a lot of sightings of it in the New Testament, like the word, like there are
right,
some.
The phrase, the finished work, you don't see it.
Yeah. Yes. We don't see Paul quoting it. But we do see him using other Greek words that encapsulate and really put a lot of color and understanding to the mind.
The simple little sentence that Jesus said, which actually it's the simple word. He said one word.
Yeah.
I wish we could say it in a way in English that made it just one word. I guess just like finished, you know.
Or you could read it in English and then say teleo.
Yeah, just like teleo is what he said. And in that moment, it's very simple, but like you said, the rest of the New Testament is basically the apostles expanding on the implications of that one word. Yes. And the implications are huge.
Unbelievable. So, and the three words are propitiation, redemption, and reconciliation. Okay. Propitiation.
Fancy words.
It's like me. It's still a fancy word in my mind. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Redemption, like redeem, buy back, and then reconciliation. Let's just hit them real quick. Cause these three words, we see in our New Testament, and the Greek words are, they all relate and not only encapsulate, but they expound on the finished work.
Yeah.
And I think that's the cool part. Like that's what we're supposed to do in this world as Christians, expound on the finished work.
Yeah.
Like make it more colorful, like not adding or taking away from it.
Right.
Like use the words.
It's like mining the depths of it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
and cultivate it and meditate on it and like share it, preach it, say it.
Yeah.
And the first word, propitiation, Romans 3:25 says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Propitiation really is the idea is satisfying the wrath of God, like satisfying the wrath of God through a sacrifice. I think that maybe that
yeah,
it's like satisfying, covering, And the idea is that there is a, the Old Testament is there's a mercy seat, and God's blood or the Lord's blood is put on that mercy seat as they did it in the Old Testament sacrifices to cover or propitiate, to satisfy. And that's the point here, because in Romans 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Verse 23, sorry. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Like, the wrath is very much a part of the finished work, right? Like, without the wrath, there's no real meaning for this.
Right. It's the whole picture.
And it's the sum total of God's justice being satisfied. So, 1 John 2:2 is also another good verse to cite. And it's like the being the Father being satisfied with the Son, like the Father's satisfaction in the Son, how he had to turn his back from, he couldn't look at him as he bore the sins of the world, is the propitiation for you and me and for the sins of the world. So that anger has been like, in a way, satisfied or like cooled down, you know, like it's still there for those who don't believe, right? Who don't believe in Jesus. The second word, redemption, is in regards to slavery, and the idea is being bought out of, bought back from, plucked out, like removed from. And that again, like, is another good verse, Ephesians 1:7. In him who we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Redemption is like a ransoming.
Yeah.
You know, like, we love the story of a ransom, like the story of a knight in shining armor. That is the soteriology of the Christian faith, is that no man is the savior, right? Like, there's no like good moral person here. There's no like guy that we like put our the plaque on the wall. Like, some countries have the faces of their great leaders.
Yeah.
Like, there is no plaque of a man on the wall. It's the cross. It's that's where the ransoming took place. And then the last one is reconciliation. And that specifically has to deal with our relationship with God.
Yeah.
We were at enmity with God in Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, right? We were adversaries, and then Christ changed that through his sacrifice, and he technically exchanged it. And I think that's important. Like, we were out of favor, and now, like, because of our trust in Jesus, he puts us in favor.
Yeah.
So we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, that of light. And that's, I think you read the verse in Colossians 1:20 to 23.
Yeah.
So those three words are so good. And if you look at them carefully, it is God initiating to man.
Yes.
That's the finished work. There is nothing here about God's grace that is saying it's merited based upon what we do.
Right.
It's 100% him doing it. And there's a good verse I thought of, Ephesians 2. It says, verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. He loved us.
Yeah.
Like, he loved us first in 1 John 4:8. So I think those words are worth the study, and that builds our theology our view of who God is.
Well, I was thinking that today when we were talking to our kids, we were reading Proverbs with them, and it talked about having a cheerful heart means that you have a continual feast in Proverbs 15. And I think that understanding the finished work is how we can have this continual feast, like that no matter what is going on in our lives, and we all have things that we're going through, we're struggling through the mess that is life on the earth.
Yeah.
But in that, we have, like it says in Psalm 23, that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. This is like a continual feast. Like the finished work is a meditation that we can always return to. And it's like such good sustenance. It nourishes us. It provides us with a cheerful heart. Yeah. It leads to a cheerful heart because it gives hope when we need it. To know that I'm at peace with God, like a lot can be going on in the world today,
or
and
like
it is.
How you wake up in the morning, like knowing that you have peace with God and not under condemnation.
Yeah. It's, you know, the world is this very scary place. There's a lot going on. And it's so valuable and such a gift that we can land in like this finished work place. Like this is where we live. Just like we've always talked about that it says that we should pick up our cross daily. Like we need to live at the cross. That means like living in the truth and all the implications that we just mentioned of the finished work for my life right now in real time. Yeah. And it does change the way we see others, right? It changes the way we see ourselves and what we do with our time. Like it has vast implications.
That's a good point. The finished work has implications in our life.
Yeah.
Right.
Like today.
Well, and I think one of them could be motivation. I think motivation is one of the words that like comes to my mind when I like, what's the fruit of the finished work? Mm-hmm. Well, if Jesus has paid it all to him I owe, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I think that song, like, it's like, well, wait a minute. Are you saying like he paid everything all to him? I own? Well, yeah. Isn't it so amazing that everything's been paid for? Now I can just give him my life.
Yeah.
I can give him my heart. I can give the eternal one something that I've never given anyone.
And we don't give it in desperation, right?
No.
We don't give like, please,
free,
I hope I'm acceptable.
Willingly.
Right.
It's because like, because he loved us first.
Right. That's so important. And I think we can, like the word motivation is huge because we can often get that motivation twisted in our minds and we're again trying to earn or we're again trying to please.
From the long list, to-do list.
Yeah. And it's the finished work is this like beautiful opportunity in any moment to kind of check that broken part of us that's still, you know, trying to work and earn and please and rest.
Yeah.
Like we rest in his love, and in rest, there's this fruit that is like our whole lives.
Right.
Right. So I think it's going to be a great week because from what I understand, this week's all going to be about how the finished work can be applied in different areas of our practical lives. So I think our work is done here.
Let's go.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and be sure to tune in all this week as we keep talking about the finished work of Christ. Thanks.
God bless you.